like to prayerfully sing, "Come gracious spirit, heavenly dove." Feel like raising your hands, you can. Come gracious spirit, heavenly dove, with light and comfort from above. The ever guardian, thou art guide for every thought and step beside. For every thought and step beside. Kind of stand up here with a lot of different emotions and feelings going through me. So I just invite you to continue praying. I won't try to describe all that I'm feeling, but I want to be used and I want God's presence to be here. I told someone yesterday, I said, I don't want to do church without God. And I don't think that's any of our desire. And whatever we do, we want to have his presence anointing us. And we want his Holy Spirit to guide us. Without God, it's just going to be simply another system, mechanism, machine, organization, whatever you want to title it, going through its motions. And that just was... yeah, sensing that need to just prayerfully sing that song. I just wonder sometimes how much do we, without maybe realizing it, go through life with just doing it on our own and maybe don't always realize that, where is God? Is he actually leading and guiding our steps? And maybe some of that is what I want to share a little bit this morning, but there's a verse or two here. I think it's basically one verse. It's James 4, verse 5. It says, I'll read it in the NLT. It says, "Do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate, that the spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him." I shared that verse there with some people recently, because it's a little bit of where I want to go maybe this morning, to think that God is passionate about his life he placed inside of us. And he wants to do whatever he can to make sure that life stays vibrant and bright and shining and fulfilling its purpose for being placed inside of us. Do you realize this morning that he placed his very life inside of you? And we just sometimes take it for granted and go about our own thing and don't ever stop and just ponder that and like, wow, God, am I allowing you to fulfill your purpose? For your spirit to be placed inside of me. You might think this is a goofy title, but you'll see as I go along. It says, "Thankful for God's work of re." The prefix R-E. A number of months ago, as I was driving along, I just started pondering the different words of re. I start with the prefix re in the scripture. And it was exciting, and yet, yeah, it was exciting to think about how our God is so merciful and long-suffering, how he is so passionate about reconciliation, he's so passionate about healing, he is so passionate about just being long-suffering and wanting us to be able to move forward and try again. And how he says, "I will guide you." And how many of us this morning are thankful for being able to restart at something? I am. How many is glad that we can redo something? We can go back and retry. We can maybe stop and refresh. You see that on Subway a lot, about fresh, or able to go back and rework something. And I believe if we're honest, we've all been there, and we're probably, if we want to be honest enough, we'll be there again and say, yeah, we'll probably get to that spot in life where we're going to have to restart again, or we're going to have to step back and relook at the situation. Years ago, I had to think of this story in my life when I had to return or turn around. It was something I didn't share about for a little while because I felt stupid about it. But it was my trucking driving, and it was years ago. And I was at Carlisle, and I was getting ready to get on the turnpike. And I was just doing my little thing, driving through the booth, and I think I was back with the tickets and all that, and you had to get your thing, and I come up to the Y in the road, and I was just humdrumming along, and I started heading west. And which direction did I really want to go? East. And from Carlisle to Blue Mountain, it's about a half hour. You know how long you got to sit there and kick yourself and condemn yourself and say, this is stupid. I mean, I was looking at that median wall. How hard is that to jump that wall with a tractor trailer? I mean, isn't there somewhere a break where I can turn around? Well, I hope I don't pass anybody that I know, because I was working through a broker where we had a number of us guys trucking together. I had to go the whole way to Blue Mountain, turn around, come the whole way back, return to Carlisle, and start heading in the right direction, east. I had to return. But I was thankful that I could turn around and return and head back and go in the right direction. It was time consuming and it was waste of money. Thankfully, tolls weren't quite like they are now, but back then we thought they were still expensive. But I had to return. Are we thankful for the prefix re? Are we thankful that God is using re in our lives? What does re mean? It means again, back. And it can indicate repetition. I'm thankful that God put that word prefix in our language and that he put those words in scripture. Think about it. Every day is really an opportunity to experience re. It's a new day, never been lived. But all of us have a story, a past, a history, a journey that wants to influence this new day that was never lived. This is the beginning of a new year. We all had last year to influence this new year. Are we going to allow history to repeat itself? Or are we going to allow history to teach us and allow hearts to be renewed so it doesn't always have to repeat? So I'm looking at this. Yeah, we don't want bad things to repeat. That's why God has put renewed and return in Scripture. And think about our situation for us as a body here this morning. We're rethinking. We're reprocessing. We're regrouping. We're re-strategizing. It's an opportunity to restart, rethink, by having our soul, our mind, will, and emotions be renewed. Think about all the re's that I just mentioned there. In Lamentations 3:19, it's a verse there that there's three verses there, and it says in the King James that remembering mine afflictions and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance, and is humbled in me. This I recall to my mind. Therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercy that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. But if you would see these verses, if you, I don't know if you have them open or not, but it brought to my mind, as I was thinking about how we have a new day, a new year, we're having a new situation that we haven't really faced too much before here in our congregation. And what does he want to do in our heart? Does he want to restore our hearts? Does he want to renew our mind? Does he want us to return to him in some area in our life? And it says here in the Lamentations that, you know what? We have a memory. We have a mind that remembers. And sometimes that's good. But then what do we do with that? Do we let it affect us in a positive way? Or do we let it, I can't help it, this is where it is. Or do we allow God to restore? It says, I remember what happened. My soul is still remembrance, and it humbles me. When I had to tell that story, I mean, it's a way of like, man, Dan, of going the wrong way. But it makes me, in that situation there, I stop and say, okay, I got to pay attention to my driving. But I believe that's why God bring these words into Scripture. He says, I want you to do something when this comes to your mind. What are you going to handle with the things of your story, of your past? But the verses end up where it says that, God, your mercies are new every morning. And that's exciting to me, and I believe for us as a group this morning, that God is long-suffering. He is merciful, and he is passionate about his spirit he placed inside of you. Are we as Christians experiencing the grace and the fullness of re in our lives and giving others the space to experience that also? Are we quick to jump and have a critical spirit? Or are we saying, you know what, God has used the prefix re in my life a lot, and I want to extend that to others. The word refresh is in Scripture. The word restore is in Scripture. The word renew or renewing is in Scripture. And this is just a few of them. The word return. The word redeem or redemption. The word rebirth. The word repentance. And we just heard that a couple Sundays ago, didn't we? Harvey did a very good job with that, of repentance. And the word, as we look at return a little bit, it goes right along with that. Revive, reward. I would just like to look at four of these words here this morning. It's return, refresh, renew, and revive to worship. And I just felt like these words really go together hand in hand. You could use different other word list of words that I gave there to fill in and go along with some of these four words that I'm speaking about and sharing this morning. But the first word is return. And as I said, that repentance goes along, walks hand in hand with this word. And I don't want to steal anything from what Harvey shared. He did a very good job, and I believe that's very critical and important in our lives, the word repentance. But the word of returning, act of returning back to where we started. I had to return the whole way back to Carlisle to start heading in the right direction. Some of us, we need to return back to the basics of who God is and what he did in our lives and where he started with us. Some of us need to stop and say, you know what? I'm starting to veer off. I need to see what happened in my life. I need to come back to the situation that took place and deal with it right there. Then I can head on in the direction that God wants me to go. Return. And Jeremiah 15 verses 18 through 19 talks some about that, of the returning. God, our Father, is calling us out, says, return. Stop. Look at what is happening in your life. You might not think that you're far off, but you might not be far off. But which direction are you going? Is it slowly heading in the wrong direction? God says, return. Jeremiah 15, verses 18 and 19. Basically, the return, as we are thinking about it, is something that is a personal choice in our lives. And it's our decision what we will do with the knowledge that comes to us, with our when the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Jeremiah 15, verse 18 and 19 says, why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me a liar, and as waters that fail? Therefore thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vow, thou shalt be as much as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou unto them. What are the things that try to pull us off course? As I said, it's our choice. But there are things that affect our lives, that affect our thinking, that affects what goes through our mind, that influences our choices in life. I believe we all here this morning, if we stop and just ponder and look at our lives, there's probably things in our hearts that, you know what? I make an agreement with the wrong thing. And it's affecting some of my decisions I do in life. I believe the things that can influence whether we start heading a wrong direction, if we find ourselves at a place where we need to return, are temptations, pain, lies, the things that the enemy brings in that we just simply make agreements with. And we stop and we say, who said that? Who am I making agreements with? Those are the moments that we start finding ourselves find ourselves making wrong choices to head in the wrong direction. We need to stop and return back and say, I need to clear that up. How do we return? And to whom? We need to start making agreements with the truth, God, and renounce the liar, our enemy, Satan. It says there in that verses there that Jeremiah say, why is this pain and why is my wounds not being taken care of? And God says, you need to stop returning to the wrong people and start returning back to me. And when you return back to me, I can heal and you can move forward in the right direction. Hosea 5, verses 13 through chapter 6, 2. I like to just look at there a little bit. I would actually like to read it in the NLT. I'd like a couple words that the NLT brought out. And if you're okay, I'm going to just read it out there. You can try to follow along in the King James if that's all you have there also. Israel says here, when Israel and Judah saw how sick they were, Israel turned to Assyria, to the great king there, but he could neither help nor cure them. Chapter 6, verse 1 says, come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, and now he will heal us. He has injured us, now he will bandage our wounds. In just a short time, he will restore us. so that we may live in his presence. I like the word restore there, and I like also how it says there that we can live in his presence. We need to stop seeking the help in the wrong places, and that's what was happening here. They were seeking help in the wrong places, and God said, I want you to return back to me and seek me, God is saying, for your help and your healing and your sanctification. We need to stop seeking help in the wrong places and to recognize where to return for true healing. Then I ask the question, why do we return? We see that there in verse 2. In the NLT, how it says there, there is a necessity to return. If we are sick and tired and wounded, if we are just done with where we're at and the things that are in our hearts, we need to return so that we can be, as it says there in verse 2, restored, and so that we can live in the presence of Jesus. Next word I'd like to look at is refresh. Refresh is an invigorating word. It's a word that, when I hear it, it speaks energy and life and vibrance. And as I thought about the word refresh, I had to think about when you're maybe tired and dirty and maybe sweaty, or maybe you're right now in the wintertime, you're tired and you're out in the cold all day, and it's like a spiritual shower. Cleansing. I picture life coming in when I see the word refresh. It's energizing, filling. It can be resting. It's experiencing something. You're experiencing joy and peace, acceptance, the presence of God infusing our lives, which is needed for the word I'm going to look at soon for renewing. But refreshing is needed. We need that presence of God in our lives. And if you look at Acts 3, 19 and 20, it talks some about that. And then, yeah, if we can look at that there. Refreshing is needed, but true refreshing comes from whom? So when we are feeling dry, we're feeling kind of empty, we're feeling kind of at the place of life just don't really have much at the moment. And you're like, I really need something refreshing in my life. I really want something that pick me up. What do we turn to? So where does true refreshing comes from? In Acts 3, 19 and 20, it says, repent ye, which we had just looked at earlier. Therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, this morning, there is a lot that the world has to offer. I know very well what that is like. I see it every day out there. People looking for something that is a pick-me-up, something that gets them going, something that gives them purpose. Especially, we all do, but us men want a purpose to fight for, if I can use that word in the right sense. A purpose to strive for. Us men are longing, because God created us that way. I believe as leaders, as husbands, as dads. And so what are we turning to give us purpose in life? And I believe this refreshing goes down that line. So refreshing needs to come from Jesus. But then what channels does he use in life? And if you look at John 14, 26, it shares a little bit of that. And what channels does Jesus use to refresh our souls? Does he come down in person and speak to us? I believe the Holy Spirit is the one channel he uses. But he uses other people in our lives, and he uses his word. In John 14, 26 says there that the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. 2 Corinthians 7:13 says, "Therefore were we comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joyed for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all." We have a crucial role as a church here this morning, as a church at large, as we meet other Christians and cross paths. Are we bringing, is God using us to bring refreshment to others? We need a return. We need to experience refreshing. And it comes through the Holy Ghost in our hearts, our lives, our one-on-one time with Him. It comes through others as we interact with others. And it comes as we just simply take His written word and read it and study it and learn from it. When are times of refreshment needed? After returning, after hardship, after overload maybe of responsibilities, we need to take time to refresh. I believe that refreshing and renewing should be happening simultaneously. God renews us, He refreshes us. He refreshes us, He renews us. I believe that should be happening simultaneously. Jesus wants to refresh us, connect with us, so that we can be renewed in our minds. And that's the next word I would like to look at, is renewing. It has the idea of renovation, taking away the old. It has the idea of to unveil, maybe the opening of our hearts, and God reveals to us, He opens up our eyes of maybe the lies or the pain or the wrong agreements we have made in our hearts. This happens by Jesus simply taking His light and shining it into our souls. In Psalms 119:105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." I believe one thing that is required for a renewing of our minds is humility and honesty. Also asking the question, as God is coming and showing things in our lives, and we're like, "Well, that's not too bad." And He might say, "Who said to do that? Did my spirit tell you to do that, or did the liar tell you to do that?" And it's important to ask that question. We need to know the source of the things that are coming into our lives. They might look innocent and good, but is it coming from the enemy? It requires humility and honesty. Romans 12:2, we know this verse very well. "And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." The renewing of our minds. Titus 3:5 says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost." At new birth, we are cleansed and forgiven. But so often we go back to making agreements with the lie. So we see our patterns continuing on the same. We're like, "Why?" Because you did not deal with the lie that you made agreements with in your heart, maybe a month ago or maybe years ago. But if you are making agreements with a lie, you're going to find your thoughts going down the same way. You're going to find your actions going down the same way. And you're like, "Well, I'm a Christian." But have you allowed that thought process, that agreement with the enemy that you made, to be renounced and done away with, so your actions can change because you have a renewed mind? In simplicity, somebody wrote like this, simply stated, quote, it says, "Renewing your mind, according to Romans 12:2, means interpreting life through the lens of God's word, truth, and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, rather than through the lens of your experience, woundedness, trauma, preference, or the opinion of others." So simply taking each thought captive, as Scripture says, we need to stop and say, "Why is that thought there? Who said it? And where did it come from?" And as you do that, you take that thought captive, you deal with the wrong ones, and allow God to then take His truth and inject it into our lives. And I believe, church family, it's a crucial shift of thinking, seeing the world, yourself, God, and even what's possible through God's kingdom perspective. is renewing, only recognizing right and wrong, thinking and letting it at that. There's another re word I'd like to inject here as we're thinking about renewing is redemption. Allowing God to buy back the areas of our hearts and lives that were stolen by the enemy. There's areas in our lives where that Satan has gotten a foothold in our lives, whether it's through experiences of life, simply life happening, and we need to stop and say, okay, that God, redeem that area of my life. Redeem it. Buy it back. Take it back. Satan, you have no place in that area of my life anymore. So I believe renewing is twofold. It's renewing and redemption. It's renewing happens as redemption takes place. They go hand in hand. God takes what the enemy has tried to take in our lives, buys it back, and renews our thinking. Renewing and redemption is really getting rid of the rubbish that builds up through life's happenings. We want to get rid of the rubbish, not the solid building stones. As you think about Nehemiah and they were building the walls, there was a lot of rubbish that they had to get rid of. But they did not want to get rid of the solid building stones in their lives. But there was a lot of rubbish. And I believe renewing and redemption is that process of recognizing there's rubbish there and say, go. But what would have happened if they would have thrown all the good stones out? They would have nothing left to build their lives on. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe Jerusalem was on a hill. And so the rubbish was all rolling down. And if they wanted those solid stones, it would have been a lot of work to go and take those stones back up so they could build again. So be careful as you go through your life. And as God is renewing your lives, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. Don't throw out the good solid building truths that God has placed in his word. But get rid of the rubbish. Let redemption happen so renewing can take place. We want to get rid of the rubbish, not the solid building stones, and get down to the solid foundation of Jesus. That's the only place we can start building. What if they would have tried to start building when that rubbish was there on the foundation? That wall wouldn't have been up very high until it would have started getting teetery and tottery, and it probably would have fell over. And as Sam Ballant and the other guy said, boy, a fox would have ran across that wall, it would have fell. And it would have if they would have built on the rubbish. But they were getting rid of the rubbish so they could build a solid wall. Lastly is revived. Revived to a reverence worship. Revived to a reverenced worship. And how did the idea there, the process that I was thinking there is worship is a giving back. Giving back to God what he has done in our lives. How can we give back if we haven't experienced the other re's in our lives, the other return, refresh, and renewed redemption? How can we give back a reverenced, revived worship? And you can look at Nehemiah 4, 1 through 6. Nehemiah 4, 1 through 6. I believe revived reverence worship is giving back, giving all honor and glory to God. It's agreeing with God that he is right and good and true. And that shout can come from our lives. God, you are right. God, you are good. God, you are true. Because we have experienced a returning, a refreshing, a renewing, our lives being redeemed. And we can now give back to him a reverenced worship. Only as we begin to experience renewal and redemptions can we come to a place of a revived reverence worship. Worship is recognizing God and his solid building blocks of truth in our lives. That's why we come before him, so that he can show us the solid building blocks, what we need to build on. Nehemiah 4, 1 through 6. And it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we built the wall, he was wrath. And he took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned? Revive the stones. And that's where I guess I just was pondering that. Is God reviving our lives and seeing the solid building blocks of truth in our lives and that we can build a life of worship to him? Out of the heaps of rubbish which are burned, now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go on it, it shall even break down their stone walls. Hear, O our God, for we are now despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them a prey in the land of captivity, and covet not their cover not their iniquity, and let not their sins be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to an anger before the builders. So built we the wall, and the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Brothers and sisters, this morning, as we come to the end of this, and we think about the reason in our life, is God, are we allowing God to take us through the process so we can live a life of a revived reverence worship? We think, well, worship happens on a Sunday morning. Yeah, it does. But I believe what is experiencing here is a product of what has happened in our lives previously. So are we living our lives every day as a sacrificed worship to him? That's a challenge I have been taking on, and I want to continue taking on. That each day, even if it's simply menial work, is we're doing it as a worship to him. But we need to be willing to go through the other processes so we can get to this place. God wants to revive a solid reverence worship out of the rubbish in our lives. Others will mock, talk bad, condemn, and even try to shame. But can we surround each other? As we read in those verses there in Nehemiah, they had a mind, they surrounded each other. And if you read it even in some other versions, NLT just puts in a little more everyday language, how they were side by side, and they had a plan that if some enemy starts attacking a group of people somewhere, they'll blow a trumpet, and they say, when that trumpet blows, you run to that spot and join others there to fight the enemy off. They had a connection because God was reviving the solid stones out of the rubbish. Seeing the solid building stones of truth, that we can build a solid living worship to our victorious Jesus. Just for a minute or two, could we maybe just bow our heads and each honestly, just quietly in your own heart, say, Jesus, do I need a return somewhere in my heart? Do I need an area of refreshing in my heart? Do I need an area of a renewing or redemption in my heart? God, I want to live a life of revived worship. Let's just quietly, each in your own hearts, pray. God, we just, as a group of people here this morning, we invited your Holy Spirit to be among us. God, we just spent a few moments here just coming before your throne room. God, we want to honestly know what's happening in our hearts.